Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, where are the Jews in Melilla originally from? And why did they go to Melilla? Melilla is a Spanish city on the northern coast of Africa. It has a large Jewish population who speak their own variety of Hakatia, a Judeo-Spanish language spoken in Morocco. David Ben-Hamou was born there in 1983 and now lives in Tel Aviv, where he works at the Spanish embassy. He grew up speaking Hakatia and is currently working on his PhD in linguistics, for which he's analyzing the particular variety of the language spoken in Melilla and how it differs from other varieties spoken in other parts of North Africa. Mr. Ben-Hamou spoke with us about Melilla's Jewish community and their language.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, David. Could you first tell us something about Melilla? You were born in Melilla. Could you describe the community in general in Melilla? Well, the cultural makeup of Melilla, what is it like?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for having me with you. Regarding Melilla, it's a small city of Spain in the north of Africa, next to the border of Morocco and not that far from the border with Argel. And it's a city that it was Spain before the protectorate, before the Spanish conquered Africa, the north of Africa. And it is a full city of Spain. And regarding the Jewish community, it's a quite large Jewish community. I mean, compared with Madrid.
Wait. Before speaking about the Jewish community, could you just tell us what Melilla itself is like? I mean, who lives there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Melilla has a large Muslim community because of the location. There were many people crossing the border and then they remain in the city and then they got the Spanish citizenship. And so it's a very ethnic city. And you have all the religions, people from India, they are a long time ago, Jews, Christians. I mean, all the religions are really well represented in the city. And when you get to the city, you realize that it's a mix of Morocco and Spain. So it's really interesting and very beautiful.
Do you have any idea what the population is, more or less?
Yes, the official population is around 85,000 people. But because of the immigration problem, there are many people who remain illegal in the city. So this amount may increase during the days, in the morning, until 100,000 or 110,000 in summertime, when like some immigrants, they work in the beach or with tourists or, you know, illegally. But yeah, 85,000 is the official one.
I remember many years ago when military service was obligatory in Spain, being sent to Melilla was almost a punishment. Is there still a military presence there?
There is a large military presence, especially since the European Union started to work together, because it's the southern border of the European Union, together with the Ceuta, another small city in the north of Africa, belonging to Spain. And it has changed. You don't have guys doing the compulsory military service, but you have professional people working for the Spanish government. But at the end of the day, you still find a very large military presence there. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the Jewish community in Melilla in general. Is it a large percentage of the population?
I mean, in numbers, what I was trying to say before, maybe Madrid community have more Jews, but because of the small size of the city, you don't find a Jew in Madrid anytime you go out on the metro. On the other hand, in Melilla, anytime you go to do your shopping or anything, you find a Jew. And you realize they are Jew because they are very Orthodox. So the way they are dressing, so you see they are Jew. And yes, there is a quite Jewish atmosphere on the city, and there's a lot of things going on. And they have seven or eight synagogues. I mean, before they had 13 or 14, but now they have like six, seven around that. And then they have the Jewish school where they make many activities and parties. And there's three kosher shops. I'm comparing it with Malaga or Barcelona or Madrid, which are largest city, but still there is a quite active Jewish life there.
Where are these Jews from, or have they been there forever?
100%, I mean, or maybe 99.9% from Moroccan origin. Like, their parents were born in Melilla, and if so, their parents were born in Morocco. They're all Sephardic. For example, you have places like Buenos Aires or New York or the States in general, or even UK, where you have Sephardic and you have Ashkenazis and you have this and you have that. No. In Melilla, especially in Spain, but in Madrid you have some Ashkenazis and you have the Ashkenazis corner inside the synagogue. But in Melilla, there is no, that's such a thing like Ashkenazi or Oriental Sephardic, just a Sephardic from Morocco, and most of them from Tetuan origin, from the city of Tetuan.
So did a lot of them arrive then when Morocco became independent?
Yeah, or before or after that, or even, but many of them also arrived like 150 years ago, when they tried to look for business opportunities in Melilla. But of course, the number increased when Morocco gained his independence in 1956. But before that, they were, so because of the harbor of Melilla, they have they were doing a harbor without taxes, so it was very attractive for trade. So that's why many Jews arrived and started working at the harbor.
Is it a stable community, or have a lot of them left to go either to Spain or to Israel?
It is stable, but obviously the number are decreasing, and there are now they weren't that religious as they are now, and they are having six, seven children, but still the number are decreasing, because if any family with six kids is living, and at the end of the day you have a large amount of people living, and also the good economic situation of Israel is helping, and they're the most young people are being established in Israel, in Madrid or somewhere else, then it's also helping the lack condition or in Venezuela, so no more people are going there. And then the economical crisis in Spain of a few years ago, that there's still people are suffering. So all the things that, like, people that went to university, they don't have so many exits there in the city or in general in Spain. And those who didn't go to the university, then they don't find a job. So at the end of the day, there are people living. And also when you become very, very, very religious, there's no way you get stuck in the city when you can, where it can be much easier for you in Israel. So that those that remain in the city because they are scared to leave, or because it's very comfortable to live. It's a beautiful city, it's very small, you can walk everywhere. It's like Gibraltar, but with a Moroccan style. So everything is very easy and comfortable, but at the end of the day, they are living.
So tell us a little bit about the variety of Spanish that's spoken by the Jews in Melilla. Do you mean Hakatia?
Yeah, I mean, we have to be very careful with that, because when I say people in Melilla are still talking Hakatia, it means that they are fluently speaking Hakatia, and they are not. Actually, they never did speak from Hakatia. But on the other hand, in every sentence they speak, they introduce words and in Hakatia, and even when they are alone, not to talk about other people, also when they are alone, they talk in Hakatia. And I guess this is because of a very small community that is always in contact, and this is the way they hear their parents spoke, and then they continue to use those words. And me, for example, and all people coming from Melilla, we are using this way of speaking, through WhatsApps even, which is a new way of speaking, because WhatsApps 20 years ago wasn't a reality as it is now. And it has some slight changes, differences compared with the Jaquetia of Tanger, Tetuan, but it's more or less the same, and it's the differences are mainly the way it sounds and some meanings and new words that they are not using or other that they are using, but we are not. I mean, but this is basically the differences.
Could you tell us what exactly Jaquetia is? Because I'm sure that many of our listeners have never even heard of it. I mean, everybody has heard of Ladino, but I don't think people have even heard of Jaquetia. So can you tell us what it is?
This is one of the problems of Jaquetia, that actually it came from the same root of Ladino, but because of Ladino, I guess, remained in Europe and they wrote newspapers in Ladino and they wrote novels in Ladino, it's more popular. But Jaquetia not really is popular as Ladino, and because it only remains in the families, inside their houses. And it never, I mean, you don't have literature in Jaquetia, except for some recent books, you know, but they were made artificially, but you don't have a natural literature in Jaquetia, and that's why. But basically, when the Jews left Spain, instead of going to Greece or Bulgaria or the eastern countries where the Ladino is spoken, they went to the north of Morocco, and then this language, this Spanish, got in touch with the Moroccan Arabic, and together with English also, and together with French and many other languages, it got to be the Jaquetia.
Do many people still speak it?
At my community, everyone does.
So you grew up with it, you spoke it at home?
Yeah, and I mean, I spoke Spanish, but a different Spanish that a non-Jew will speak in my city. It's like an ethnic accent.
So is it just the accent or is it also vocabulary?
No, vocabulary. I simplify the way I explain, but it's vocabulary, pronunciation, many, many things, words that people will not understand what I'm saying. I can give you some examples if you want.
Okay.
If you want afterwards. But yes, actually, we all went to the Jewish school in Melilla, the only one there. So we continue to use it because we all went to the same school. We all stay together, so we continue to use it. Until today, we continue to use it. And it's more than pronunciation. We take a word from Arabic or from Hebrew, we twist it, and we look for a new meaning, and then it is Jaquetia. So a Muslim from Morocco will not understand us, someone from Israel will not understand us, and someone from Spain will not understand us, even though that the language, the Jaquetia, is compound by those three languages. For example, as we are doing the interview in English, I have an example of a word that we continue to use now coming from English. Tipo. Can you know where is tipo? It's teapot. Okay?
Oh, uh-huh.
Why is that? So, because they saw the name on the harbor and then they changed it. In this case, this is a transformation from English. But we also have our own words. For example, someone that is very dirty, we call it chojón. So it means that he's not very clean. And this word is not coming from any English or Arabic. And for example, this word in Melilla, we call it chojón. But in Tetuán or Tanger, we will say chojón. So in this case, it's pronunciation. But in other cases, besides pronunciation, there are other changes.
So is the Jaquetia from Melilla, since Melilla is a very kind of isolated place, is it mutually understandable with the Jaquetia from Ceuta or from Morocco?
From Ceuta more, because they also have the influence from Spain. But I would say like 80% or the things they understand. But sometimes I'm talking to people here, for example, at work, I have someone from Venezuela that speak Jaquetia because their parents are from Tetuán. So we all talk all the time, and sometimes in some uses, she look at me and say, "What did you just say?" And then I say the word again and say, "Ah, you mean that?" So I say this way, but look, maybe they know this word, but they don't use it that much. For example, in Tetuan they say snoga for saying synagogue, like Beta Knesset in Hebrew, synagogue. But we say tefillah. But they also say tefillah, but it's not that often, not that often as we say tefillah. So like we have words that we both use, but we have the tendency to use some words and they have the tendency to use other. But yeah, let's say that most of the time they may understand us.
So tell us a little bit about your research. Tell us what you're doing and what kind of methodology you're following.
Okay, what I'm trying to do, first of all, is to prove that until today, the language, the speech of the Jewish people in Melilla is different from the non-Jewish people, and in which moments on of their lives they are using this language, when, how, the frequency. And I'm doing it from the cognitive sociolinguistics, which is actually an innovative branch of the sociolinguistics, because until now the studies of Jaquetia were rather folklorical or historical, but no one came and proved whether a community is speaking or how they're speaking. Of course, there are previous studies from Western academics like Bendelak, Bentolila, who is living in Israel now, but not from this part of Spain. And also I want to prove the concept of ethnovarietà, like you have a dialect depending of the how much money you earn, you have a dialect depending of your age, you have a dialect depending if you were educated or not, and also there is a dialect depending of your ethnicity. So that's what I'm trying to prove.
How are you doing this? How are you going about it?
Okay, I'm done. I mean, as it has been a long journey of three years and a half. I'm just now putting down with words, and actually I'm almost done. So for September, it has to be finished. This is the way the university is working. And it's okay, because you cannot be researching your entire life. You have to do it quick and finish your stuff. And I've been going to Melilla, doing records, sending surveys to people, listen to those recording for hours, and also visiting maybe like 20 people a day during a month with no weekends nor anything. So it has been a tough job doing many type of surveys. I have to hire two actors from the community to assist me to get out the information from people, then make the people sign that they agree this information to be published. So especially dealing with people, because I have friends that say, well, the PhD is not that difficult, because they're doing it on biology, they have a plant, so they have to observe the way the plant is doing for 30. But when you have to deal with people, and then the Jaquetia is very intimate language, so sometimes the things they are saying, the people are not very happy that I take this stuff out of the context. So you have to look for the way you tell things, but without telling everything. So this is a bit tough, especially, for example, things like nicknames. Or the first time that I put a nickname, they will realize very soon that who is the person I'm talking about. So you have to or change or cover the nicknames and things like that.
Now, you said that even though the families have a lot of children, most of the young people tend to leave. And I was wondering, if they leave, do they keep speaking Jaquetia? I mean, how do they consider Jaquetia? Do they kind of look down on it because it's from their grandparents or because it's lower class or something like that? Or is it something they're proud of that they want to keep doing?
Okay. In the old protectorate, it used to be the language of the low class people. So people with better education were saying, stop talking Jaquetia to their children, even though that they were talking it, even if they have money, you know, because at the end of the day, it was the natural language of you people. Most of them. So we are not in that. We are Spanish. We are proud of in Spanish. So we don't have anyone to tell us speak it or not speak it. Actually, where I found out is that this generation don't care about they don't care about pushing it forward or let it down. They just speak it. They are not conscious about, I mean, they know they speak differently, but they are not conscious about, they will not do anything to save it, but then they will not do anything to kill it until the end. And then when they get to Israel or to other places, it's wonderful how to see people that have never been in Melilla, but they are born from Melilla, speakers, and even third or fourth generation. Of course, the lexical richness is fewer because, you know, they this is the way language works. But still, you can use words. For example, I have a little niece, and anytime she's going to the toilet in a natural way, she say, Tito, me estoy jarreando, which is a nice way of saying I need to poo, you know, because also this is, that's why people don't like to talk about jaquetilla, because sometimes it has words related with toilet and sexual things, but still, like, this is the way she's telling me that she needs to go to the toilet.
Yeah, no, the reason I asked is because since other, let's say, Jewish languages such as Ladino, such as Yiddish, have kind of fallen into disuse, to put it nicely.
Also jaquetilla, and it will disappear eventually, but for now, in my community, it is used.
And also the reason that I asked you is because you said, I mean, you had written to me that the Eastern variety is not very well considered, at least not as well considered as the Western variety. And I was wondering if this was for socio-economic reasons. Does it have to do with class? In other words, in Melilla, are the people, let's say, who speak it poorer than the people who speak it in other places?
Or? They used to be some that they were poor, but nowadays they're middle class of the city of Melilla. We have rich people in the community, but there are also people that are, I mean, no one is starving to death, you know what I mean? But before, they were Jews, family were sleeping all together in the living room. They had to ask for food at the Talmud Torah, the Jewish school. There's not such a situation like that. There are people that have suffered with the economical crisis, but let's say that most of the Jewish community of Melilla may face a nice living standard. And that's, as I say, one of the reasons why they keep living in the city, because if they will be suffering, they will have left to Israel a long time ago.
So then why do you think that the Eastern variety isn't considered?
Okay, I think it's because most of the writers and most of the linguistics that has talked about jaquetilla came from the Western area of Morocco. First of all, because the Sephardic community there was larger. There were like Tanger and Tetuan and Larache and Casaquibir, and all this community together were a large number of people. From Melilla, the time where there were more Jews, there were maybe 10,000, which is still from Melilla. It's a lot of Jews, but still. And then people there were worried maybe about studying, being doctors or being in other things. It just came like, I decided to study jaquetilla and that's it. There's also a small university in Melilla. And in the other hand, in the other place, people were studying in Casablanca and in universities in Morocco. So I think it's just that there wasn't anyone from the community that was able to study or that wanted to study.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
I invite people to go to Melilla. It's a very safe place and it's very interesting, especially Jews who love it. They have to feel safe, and it's a beautiful city because it's a very modernist city like Barcelona, the architecture, and it's so beautiful. The weather is nice, and for 2 or 3 days they will love it. They love the history and they love the Jewishness. And also for people, for example, if they're hearing us from London and they're stressed out about traveling to places without kosher, then this is the place for them, because they will always have the kosher and they will always have the synagogue. So for Orthodox people, it's a good place to go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.